9 o'clock on the nose. We'll at 10 o'clock on the nose here. So go ahead and get started. We'd like to welcome everybody out today. Looks like we've got pretty good numbers. We've got several folks who are out and traveling around. So we do have just a couple of quick announcements before we jump into our 10 o'clock worship this morning. The only person I was made aware of on the sick list, Christina, not with us this morning. Mike said she has started a new medication, and so it's going to take, that's putting her through a bit of a loop right now. It might take several weeks before her condition improves enough that she'll be up and around. So we'll want to remember her for however long that takes. Numbers are obviously down a bit. There's several families I'm not sure about, but I do know that the Kaysens are out traveling this week. Chuck obviously is conducting his meeting down in Beaver Dam, Kentucky. My understanding is that he will be commuting back and forth for that, so he'll be at the building a couple times this week to continue work over there. But he will be out all of this week, so we'll see him next Sunday, Lord willing. Speaking of the building, we have made some progress over the last several days. I'll let Tim speak to that. As far looking forward throughout the week, we'll obviously be meeting again this afternoon at 4 o'clock. We'll also be meeting Wednesday at 7 for Bible study. Mark Kaysen is listed as having the invitation for that on Wednesday. For the order of today's worship, Tony has agreed to word the opening prayer for us. Mark Nevins will be handling communion at the appropriate time. Dave Dickerson will be assisting him. Warren is handling our song service for the morning. You'll see he has made 19, his first selection. So I would encourage you to be turning to that. We'll be there shortly. In Chuck's absence, Tim Clark will be handling our preaching for the morning. So we look forward to his thoughts. Mike Johnson will be wording the closing prayer. It's also worth mentioning we do have a new bulletin on the back table. There are plenty of copies, so go ahead and grab that if you haven't already. Jesse and I will also be handling the radio show this afternoon, 2 o'clock, 98.5 FM. So if you have the opportunity, we would encourage you to tune in for that as well. If there's anything else that needs to be announced, please let me know after services. I will bring it up this afternoon. Otherwise, I will turn things over to Warren.
Page 19, we'll sing all four verses. All four verses. All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. election this morning. Page 501. 501. After this song, we'll have our opening prayer. We'll sing all three verses.
Oh, worship the King of glorious above, and gratefully sing His wonderful love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. Thy bountiful care, what tongue can recite? It breathes in the air, it shines in the light. It streams from the hills, it descends to the plain, and sweetly distills in the dew and the rain. Frail children of dust and feeble as frail, in Thee do we trust. Lord, bind me to fail. Thy mercies, how tender, how firm to the end. Our anchor, defender, redeemer, and friend.
I have a open prayer.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity this Lord's Day morning to come together and sing praises unto Thy name, study another portion of Thy word. We are thankful for each and every one of us that are here this morning. We pray that we were here for no other reason but to worship You and put You first in our life. Father, we pray for those of our number that are mentioned that are sick. We pray that You'll watch over them and be with them. Be with the doctors that are over watching their care, and that be Thy will that You turn them back to a proper portion of health. We pray that You be with those that are on the roads of travel this morning. Pray that they will have a safe journey to their destination, and that they will return back at the next appointed time and safely. Father, we pray for the work that's being done here at River Ridge. We pray that much good will continue to come from this work, that further Thy kingdom, that we will be a shining light in this community, and that as Christians we'll be a shining light in the places we live and the places we work, that they will ask us the hope that we have, and that we may be able to turn them to You before it's everlasting too late. We pray that You be with Brother Tim this morning as he brings us a lesson, pray that he'll have a ready remembrance of what he has prepared, and that he'll present it in a way that's well-pleasing to Thee. We ask that You go with us now throughout this hour. We ask that You be our ever-abiding guest. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
For the Lord's Supper, let's turn to page 688. 688. All three verses.
Jesus on the night betrayed, honored God as He blessed the bread, and to His disciples said, "Let's remember." Thank Thee for
I'd like to read a couple of passages that don't note to be done on the Lord's Supper. But I think once you understand the scriptures, you can get the correlation of it. In Numbers chapter 23, verses 6 and following, that's when the children of Israel sinned and they had to, and God sent the serpents. God also told Moses in verse 9, make a bronze serpent to set it on a standard. And to come about, if the serpent bit any man, when he looked upon the bronze serpent, he lived. So in that instance, that serpent that was lifted up was their salvation. Jesus spoke of that same event in John 3, verse 14. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Saying that the event of the cross, just in that future that he had to do, and that we are to look upon that cross as our salvation. For that event happened, he instituted the Lord's Supper in remembrance of that event, the bread and the wine that we just sung about. If you would, pray with me. Father in heaven, as we approach the throne this morning, Father, we pray that our thoughts are upon this event, the event of the cross, that your Son Jesus came down to bear the sins upon the world. We pray, Father, as we take of this bread, that you would bless it, that we bring it to remembrance of the sacrifice of Jesus. In Christ's most holy name, amen.
Amen.
Father, again, as we come before thee, we pray that this cup that represents your Son, Jesus' blood, that shed upon that cross, Father, we be grateful for that. We're thankful for Jesus who comes upon this world to fulfill that accomplishment. We pray, Father, as we take of this cup, that we examine ourselves in Christ's most holy name.
Amen.
Thank you. continue the worship service, we are to lay by in store on the first day of the week, commanded by the New Testament. If you're a visitor among us, we have no obligation to do so. If you're a Christian identified with the work here at River Ridge, it is our responsibility and obligation to do so with a purpose and cheerful heart. If you would, pray with me. Our Father, we are deep grateful for the lessons you've given us, for those of the spiritual realm and those of the physical, Father. We pray that we, in the physical realm, are good stewards of those things that you've given us, that we, in our hearts this morning, will give back a portion to that. That we pray for the elders that we would use it in such a way that it would increase your kingdom in this locality. We pray that you would continue to bless us, Father, in Christ's most holy name. Amen.
If you would, please mark your songbooks at page 588. 588. That'll be the song of invitation after Brother Tim brings our lesson this morning. And if you would, turn to page 532. We'll sing this song before we have our lesson. 532. We'll sing all three verses.
Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to His holy name. Like a our blessed. blessed Redeemer, heavenly portals, loud with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious, power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song.
Good morning. It's good to see us all here this Lord's Day. I do have a couple announcements that Dan mentioned. Just a little bit about the building. We're finished up the drywall yesterday, the rough drywall, so now we're getting some quotes from 2 to 3 mudders, people who come in to do the mudding and taping and finish up all that drywall. So depending on how quickly we can get somebody to give us a quote and then how quickly they can get in to do that, we'll get through with that task. So hopefully within a couple of weeks at the latest, we can get that done. And then we've still got, you know, carpeting to do and hanging the ceiling and flooring and bathroom. So we're probably still, you know, month and a half out, I would think, conservatively. But continue to pray for those efforts. We're getting there, just like anything. It's a process and it takes a while, but we're soon going to be out of this library. We'll be back. We have a gravel driveway of our own to pull into. But we do appreciate everyone's prayers. Also, as we mentioned, Chuck is holding a meeting in Beaver Dam, Kentucky. You don't know where that is. It's about, I think, maybe 30 minutes, 40 minutes south of Owensboro. So it's doable if you can get over there maybe after work and support them over there. That's where Mike Thomas preaches. He's preached for us before when we were over at the old building. So they've supported us, and we can support them if we get the opportunity to go over there. So please do that if you do have an opportunity to get over there. What I'd like to talk about today is the suffering of Jesus. So often we focus on the death of Jesus, and that's rightly so. If it wasn't for his death, burial, and resurrection, we wouldn't have the hope that we have for home in heaven. But for the sermon this morning, we're going to focus on Jesus being wounded for us and Jesus suffering the agony for us. So Jesus willingly endured his final days. He was deeply grieved, yet he still prayed to God for this cup to pass from me, if it was the Father's will. We see that in Matthew chapter 26, 38 and 39. We're going to read that, but we know that if Jesus was troubled and he knew the pain that he was going to have to go through. He knew what was foretold and that he was going to have to suffer an agonizing death. And yet he was still willing, if it was any way possible, for God, please let this pass from me. But you know, we know God's will was that Jesus needed to go through with that. So we're going to look at that this morning. I'd like to thank everybody who's here this morning. I know we have some visitors who are here with us, and we just thank you for having your mind on spiritual thought that you want to gather here with us and participate in this worship service with us. We're here to honor God. If there's anything that you find amiss or that I might say or some question about our service that you want to ask about, just please talk to one of us afterwards, and we can talk to you surely about those questions that you might have. So let's turn to 1 Peter to start this morning. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 through 24. 1 Peter chapter 2, 20 through 24. For what credit is there if, when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, yet kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. So we just sang a song mentioned about praise him for carrying our sorrows. It was a song that I used to lead when we were at the old building, talking about he carried my sorrows. A lot of these songs we sing about the Lord's Supper are very personal. They talk about my, you know, or I, to help us focus on me and what the sacrifice means for us. That song talks about by his stripes I am healed. There's another song that we sing that I think I've led this one several times called Wounded for Me. And that's kind of where I got this thought about Jesus, talking about the wounds and the agony that Jesus went through. And when I sing this song, when I lead that song, sometimes I'm thinking that the song is wounded for me. Well, Jesus wasn't just wounded for me. He died for me. But the song is a progressive song that's talked about Jesus being wounded and then dying and then living and then, you know, after having risen. So that song helps me to focus on what that meant for me. So I researched the song just a little bit to find out about that song itself. And the writer of that song, back after World War I, the man was a Christian, and he was walking on the streets and had a World War I veteran limp by him. And he looked at the man and thought, you know, that man was wounded for me because he went to war and he sacrificed for me. And so he wrote that song, the song Wounded for Me. And that's where the first verse, anyway, came from. And then somebody came along later and added the other verses. But just thinking about how somebody else sacrificed for you, and that's what we're going to talk about today, is the death that Jesus died on the cross. But prior to that, all the suffering that he went through so he could go to the cross and die for us. Well, it's hard to imagine, I think, the physical suffering that Jesus went through. We're going to look, first of all, at John chapter 18, verses 22 and 23. John 18, 22 and 23. And this is when Jesus is before Annas, the former high priest. He's the father-in-law of Caiaphas. 22 and 23. Well, I actually go back to 21. Why do you question me? Question those who have heard what I spoke to them. They know what I said. When he said this, one of the officers standing nearby struck Jesus, saying, "Is that the way you answer the high priest?" Jesus answering him, "If I have spoken wrongly, testify to me. But if rightly, why do you strike me?" So here, Jesus being struck, you know, by someone from Annas's group, an officer who struck him. You know, I've never been struck in my life. My dad slapped me once because I spit out some food that he wanted me to try, and that was the only time in my life I can think about ever being hit. Janet and I don't have knockdown drag outs, so you know that. But I can't imagine what it's been like just when somebody, just the pain of somebody just hauling up and hitting you as hard as they can. And in this case, Jesus suffering a blow here, being struck, and he never returned anger. The sacrifices that he's made for us, starting here in this situation, that he never retaliated at all. And then before Caiaphas, in Mark chapter 14, we're going to look over at Mark chapter 14, verses 64 and 65. Mark 14, 64 and 65. You have heard the blasphemy. How does it seem to you? And they all condemned him to be deserving of death. Some began to spit at him and to blindfold him and to beat him with their fists and say to him, "Prophesy." And the officers received him with slaps in the face. Just the brutality, thinking about somebody hitting Jesus, spitting on him, you know, the humility of it to begin with, but the physical beating, you know, somebody hitting him with their fist and slapping him in the face just because, you know, he's a person proclaiming to be Christ. I mean, other people, you could see that, you know, where they probably had lesser penalties than this. But here, prophesy, they tell him, and they're just making fun of him and just beating him, just careless, you know, boys will be boys kind of play, where they're just hauling off and hitting him. Then we want to look at Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27 and verse 26. And they released Barabbas for them, but after having Jesus scourged, he handed him over to be crucified. And this was Pilate releasing Barabbas. Were they wanted to release Barabbas or Jesus? No, they said they released Barabbas. We want Jesus to be crucified. So here in verse 26, and having Jesus scourged. I mean, that's all it says about having Jesus scourged. Now, I don't know if some of you have seen some of the movies, Passion of Christ or some of these other ones that are, you know, Hollywood movies, but I don't think you can sensationalize too much the scourging of Jesus. What it, you know, scourging was a whip. They called it, one of them called it a cat of nine tails that used to be used back in the Middle Ages. You know, a whip with leather pieces on it with pieces of bone and metal. You know, and then they would strap the person to a post and just beat the person. You know, and every time they're pulling that out, it's pulling pieces of flesh and all out of the body. And I don't think that can be over sensationalized, but what Hollywood does, you know, here it just mentioned, and Jesus was scourged, kind of like, and he was crucified. So one of the things I read about in some of the commentaries was that, you know, they understood what it meant. So for them to read about and for the writer here, Matthew, to say he was scourged meant that when I'm writing this to you, you know what it means when I say scourged because you've seen this. So the brutality of all that, and how Jesus would go through that for us. To me, it's just hard to fathom having somebody who was there watching all that and not having been moved by that. You know, every Lord's Day when we get up here, that's the thing that we try to get across to people, that we should. You know, it's personal to me how Jesus went to the cross for me and all this beating and brutality that he went through for me and you because he had to. I mean, that's what they put him through. Also, before Pilate, we want to see in Matthew chapter 27, verses 29 through 31. And after twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they knelt down before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." They spat on him and they took the reed and began to beat him on the head. After they had mocked him, they took the scarlet robe off him and put his own garments back on him and led him away to crucify him. They put together a crown of thorns. Now, you know, I've had a splinter in my finger before. That's hurt really bad. I mean, can you imagine just going through a briar bush or some of these, you know, some of these thorns that we have seen in our lives are really tiny little thorns. But I mean, there are places where you have those, some trees and really thickets where those thorns are, you know, huge. But regardless of what kind of thorn it was on his head, put a crown on top of your head and just imagine the pain of somebody putting it on your head to begin with and then taking a rod and beating it on top of your head. You know, blood's going to be coming down your head and taking that and not retaliating, not, you know, throwing back anger towards the people who are doing that to you. You know, they spat on him, they mocked him, they took the robe off of him. This is after he'd already been scourged. You know, blood's already on his back. They put the robe on him. They took the robe off. They put the clothes back on. Just thinking about all the agony that he went through, but he had to do that, and he did it for us. And then let's look at Luke chapter 23 and verse 26. Luke 23 and verse 26. This is after after they had beaten him and hit him on the head with crown of thorns, and all. Now they're leading him away to be crucified. In verse 26, when they led him away, they seized a man, Simon of Cyrene, coming in from the country, and placed on him the cross to carry behind Jesus. So in other accounts of the gospel, Jesus started carrying his cross himself at some point in time, couldn't, and this man, at least in Luke account, they see somebody coming in from the country. Can you imagine being that person just walking into the country and they grab you and put Jesus' cross on you, and you're having to carry his cross to carry behind Jesus. So Jesus is going to be crucified, and this man is carrying this cross behind him because Jesus couldn't bear the cross because he had been beaten so much that he couldn't even get the cross to where it needed to go. The agony that Jesus went through and the pain that he went through, was for us. And one thing I was reading about here is that, and if I knew it, I must have forgotten it, but there's no account in the Gospels of the crucifixion itself that spoke about Jesus being nailed to the cross. Now, in John chapter 20, verse 25, we know that Thomas wanted to see the nail holes. So we know that Jesus was nailed to the cross. So, in some accounts, what I had read was that some of the crucifixions, they just took the person and they strapped them with leather straps to bind them. And other times, they actually nailed them, their hands and their feet, on the cross. But if I had known that, I'd forgotten that none of the gospel writers specifically talked about all the excruciating details, that went through with the crucifixion. It was, and he was led off to be crucified, and he was crucified. It was not to say it's minimalized, but they knew what that meant. We don't have all the details, and we don't need to know all the details to know that he suffered and he died for it. But just thinking about those things that he went through for us. Now, one of the things that we also know that he didn't have to go through the breaking of his bones. That when they got to him, they didn't want them hanging there over Passover, that they broke the bones, but Jesus was already dead, so they didn't break Jesus' bones. Also, I wasn't familiar, but I did some referencing in Exodus chapter 12, 43 through 46, we're not going to read that, but no bone was broken from the Passover meal, and that Jesus is our example, as a sacrifice, just like the Old Testament Passover sacrifices, that when they threw out the Passover lamb, that none of the bones were broken, that Jesus was the perfect sacrifice for us. So the good news is that Jesus died for us. He died for our sins. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 3 through 4. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 4. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. So we know that through all the wounding and all the agony that Jesus went through, he died on the cross, but the grave couldn't hold him, that he was raised from the dead and lives in heaven now, and we have an opportunity to be there with him also. John the Baptist said in John chapter 1, verse 29, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So if Jesus hadn't come to take away the sin of the world, then we wouldn't have any hope of eternity at all. So why did Jesus have to suffer so much? What's it What's the benefit to us that Jesus suffered? We know he died and he was resurrected, but why did Jesus have to suffer? Well, let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 through 18. 1 Peter chapter 3, 14 through 18. But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled. But sanctify Christ with the Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. And keep a good conscience, so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame. For it is better, if God should will it so, that you suffer for doing what is right than for doing what is wrong. Verse 18, for Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. So, why did Jesus have to suffer? Well, one reason was to bring us to God. We just read here in verse 18, for Christ died for the sins for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God. Because sin separates us from God. Mankind was fine before the fall in the garden. So we had to be reconciled back to God. And with Jesus suffering, his suffering made that possible for us. It's that his suffering and his death, we were brought back to God. We were able to be reconciled to him. Now it shows that God's love for us. He wanted us back. It shows us the horror of sin. You know, how bad sin really is, that it took Jesus suffering and his death on the cross to free us. I mean, nothing else could do that. It had to be a perfect sacrifice, and Jesus was the one. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Hebrews 2, 9 and 10. But we do see him who was made a little lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom all things and through whom all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the author of their salvation through sufferings. So Jesus was perfected through his suffering. So he was made perfect through his sufferings. So had he given in to the sufferings? Had he given in to temptations? He couldn't have been the perfect sacrifice for us. So he had to endure all that. He had to become the perfect sacrifice for us by taking all those sufferings and yet enduring them for us. And he never ever gave in to sin. Another reason Jesus had to suffer was to be our example. He suffered for the sake of righteousness. We read in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 through 24. When we're mistreated for doing good, when we're praying in public, reading our Bibles, when we're disciplining our children in public and somebody makes fun of us or says something about, hey, you shouldn't be doing that, it helps us to look to Jesus and say, my suffering, anything I put up with is nothing compared to what you put up with. And so many times we kind of shy back from saying what we should. Mike mentioned that today. When we have the opportunity to say something to somebody, we don't take that opportunity because we're too embarrassed by some situation. I don't want somebody to know I'm a Christian. Well, I should let everybody know I'm a Christian. Sometimes there's certain situations that we're put in where, we might, shrink back and just not stand out like we should, and that's not the case. Jesus was our example. He battled against sin. We should battle against sin also. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you, but such is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will provide the escape also, so that you'll be able to endure it. So we know we're able to endure it because Christ endured all. He never gave in to any of the sinful opportunities, you know, that were presented to him. You know, he had to be the perfect example for us because we know that we don't have to give in to sin. He's our example. You know, he expects us to be perfect. We know we can't be, but that standard is set up here. You know, when our child is born and we have a, you know, a newborn child, we don't say, well, I hope they only commit a thousand sins in their life. You know, you want to set the standard high and say, I hope my child is the obedient child. I hope they respect me. I hope they obey by the rules of the house. You know, and when they do, as a parent, you're thinking, well, I'm just a great parent. When they're not, you're thinking, well, I've really messed up. For some reason, this child is just not getting it. But the example that we need to be to, you know, our fellow man and to our friends and, you know, other people was set because of who Jesus is and, you know, the life that he lived for us. And so he's just a perfect example for us. He just paved the way for us. You know, just thinking about the sacrifice of Jesus on an ongoing basis, each Lord's Day when we get up here. I know there's some congregations that they put so much of a focus, you know, maybe a 10 or 15 minutes is what they, you know, ask the men to do, and so that the congregation knows that this is, you know, something special that's going on here, that we never want to trivialize what we do for the Lord's Supper. So helping us always think about the sacrifice that Jesus gave for us, singing those kind of songs that, you know, evoke those emotions in us. It's very emotional. It should be emotional to us that, you know, Jesus gave his life for us, and because of his suffering that we were able to have that opportunity for home in heaven. Now, I don't know how I'd ever react to anybody who died, you know, for me, you know, who physically died for me in this life, you know, somebody who would step in front of a car for me, or, you know, go into a burning building and bring me out, or, you know, how I'd react to that. But I know how I react to Jesus and how the sacrifice that he made for me. And each of you that's been as a Christian has that same feeling, that because of Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross, sufferings that he put up with, you know, what we read here, much more about the sufferings than there is about the death, the beatings that he put up with and all. It's just so much that, you know, we as a Christian should think about as we're here today. So go ahead and get your songbooks out. Turn to the song of invitation that's been selected. I actually want to read one more scripture. You don't have to turn there. I'll read 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For you have been called for this purpose, as Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. And he suffered for you. So if you're a Christian, you know that. If you're not a Christian, you should know that also. But you haven't accepted that. Well, he died for you, regardless of whether you accept it or not. So as a Christian, if you've fallen short of his will, and you know that there's something amiss in your life, and you need to make that right, you need to do that today. And if you're someone who's never been baptized, you've got sin in your life. Jesus, we talked about today, died this excruciating death for you. And until you accept that, you're still lost in your sins. And there's no hope for you. But we're here today to help you in any way that we can. And we ask you to come forward if you have a need as we stand and sing the invitation tonight.
Sinner Jesus will receive. Sound this word of grace to all. Soon the heavenly pathway lead. All who linger, all who fall. Sing.
Not to really forget, but we just lose our focus and we forget what has been done for each and every one of us of the faith. We can never forget that. Anything else needs to be announced? Be dismissed. If not, let's have our closing prayer.
Bow with me as we pray. Let's rest in righteous Heavenly Father. We come to you in prayer here to close this service. Thanking you for allowing this time to be together this morning. To be able to assemble and worship here, and we pray that as we've done so, that we've worshiped in spirit and in truth, and that's been pleasing in your sight. Father, we're so thankful for all the things that you do for us, for the material lessons that you bless us with, food, clothing, shelter, and all the things that you give to us, Heavenly Father. We're so thankful for that, but help us to recognize that from a material standpoint, that all the things that we have and all the blessings that we have come with you from your goodness only toward us. Father, most of all, we're thankful for the spiritual blessings. Thank you for allowing us to have easy access to your word, that we can open it, that we can read and see how we can be better in our service to you each day. Father, help us to take advantage of that as we have it. We're thankful for Jesus, his willingness to come. Thankful that we can remember his death here this morning, observing the Lord's Supper. Father, we have so many blessings that it's hard to give thanks for those things, but we're thankful for your goodness toward us. Father, we're thankful for Tim and the lesson that he preached to us this morning. Help us to keep those thoughts at the forefront of Jesus' suffering and what he did for us. We're mindful, and Father, also of those who are making sick and not feeling well, be with him and give them their portion of help that they need. I'll be with those who might be struggling spiritually as well. Help us as brothers and sisters in Christ to recognize our responsibilities to one another and look for opportunities to help those. Father, I'll put the prayer off earlier. We say amen for that. And as we depart from here, we pray your blessings upon us and bring us back at the next 20 time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 I really appreciate it.